The following transcribed.
In celebration of National Brotherhood Week, the National Broadcasting Company is pleased to present Dr. Abba Hillel Silver, Rabbi of the Temple, Cleveland, Ohio, and former president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, who will speak from Cleveland on the theme, One World Indivisible.
My dear friends, in one of his recently published unpopular essays, Bertrand Russell writes, "The importance of man, which is the one indispensable dogma of the theologians, receives no support from a scientific view of the future of the solar system." To which one is prompted to reply, "So much the worse for this scientific view, which doubtless will go through many revisions and corrections in the future, as have so many other scientific views in the past. Time and again, science has been tardy in arriving at conclusions which the intuitive religious genius of mankind postulated long ago. Furthermore, there are religious convictions which require no confirmation at the hands of science, and which science can neither affirm nor deny." But Bertrand Russell is entirely correct when he states that the importance of man is the one indispensable dogma of the theologians. It is also the one indispensable dogma of democracy, and it is at the heart of the terrible crisis which is cleaving and rending our world apart today. Both Judaism and Christianity hold that man has immense significance in the scheme of things. Man is very important to God in the unfoldment of his purposes. Each man, every man, rich or poor, wise or simple, white or black, saint or sinner. Sin is a voluntary lapse into unworthiness and unimportance. It is descent into paltriness. Man should live and act as if his life were tremendously significant, as if he were a co-worker of God in creation. One of our sages long ago, employing the rich imaginative style which characterized their utterances, declared, "When a man goes on his way, a troop of angels precede him and proclaim, 'Make way for the image of God. Blessed be he.'" The universal moral law, which Judaism and Christianity proclaimed, demanded much of man in terms of duty and sacrifice, but it gave much to him in terms of status, dignity, and inalienable rights. "Every man has the right to say," declared an inspired teacher of our faith, "for my sake was the whole world created." A sense of kinship with God crowned man with glory and honor and made him feel a little lower than the angels. Similarly, the far-visioned poet of American democracy, Walt Whitman, proclaimed, "The whole theory of the universe is directed unerringly to one single individual, namely, to you. This is the heroic dogma of American democracy, which derived its sanction from religion." Friends of democracy seem to have forgotten the religious origin of the democratic revolution in the Western world. Modern democracy was born out of the struggle for religious freedom in the 16th and 17th centuries. Out of that victorious struggle, there stemmed the victories for man's political, economic, and social freedom. Thus, when in the 18th century, the founding fathers of our republic wrote into the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, They were giving political expression to what was fundamentally religious doctrine. When they proclaimed that resistance to tyrants is obedience to God, when they engraved upon the Liberty Bell the biblical verse, "Thou shalt proclaim freedom throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof," or when Franklin and Jefferson, in drafting the first seal of the United States, placed on it the figure of Moses, the immortal emancipator, as he stood on the shore of the Red Sea and caused its waters to overwhelm the Egyptian Pharaoh and his hosts, they were marshaling religious truth and authority to underwrite their political revolution. So also did the long and bitter struggle to free the slaves in our country receive its momentum not from science, not from economics, not from any materialistic interpretation of history, but from a profound religious conviction which could not be permanently denied or suppressed, namely that the enslavement of human beings was contrary to the law of God. Men must be free because they are tremendously important, intrinsically important. My life is important, and so is my neighbor's. Through cooperation, our independent lives gain in effectiveness, but never lose in spiritual sovereignty. The crux of the whole matter is reverence for human life itself. This, I take it, is the message of Brotherhood Week. This Brotherhood Week, which the National Conference of Christians and Jews has proclaimed. The immortal mandate of scriptures, which is found in the book of Leviticus, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," comes as climax and summation of a whole series of prescriptions and ordinances, all of them aimed at stress life and respect for the personality of every individual. "Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor favor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not spread false reports among thy people. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor be intolerant of thy fellow men." My dear friends, our age, unfortunately, makes little of the individual. His personal life is not very important. Men are being handled impersonally in the mass. Increasingly, they are becoming statistics. They are shunted about like herds of cattle. They are slaughtered in the millions. They are coordinated and subjugated to the state until the last vestige of their freedom and their rights vanishes. Because the religious basis of our society has been denied, and because materialistic theories of life and history have taken hold of the thoughts and actions of men and governments, the stature of the individual, and with it his rights and inherent dignity, have suffered tragic abatement and diminution. Having denied to man the image of God, he has been given the mask of the robot. Because man is regarded as unimportant and possessed of no rights, which are inherently his, subject to no veto, either by the state or by society, it has been possible in our day for certain usurping political parties and governments shamelessly to call for and achieve the ruthless expropriation and extermination of whole classes of people of whose political and economic views and interests they did not approve. Our age has witnessed the appalling mass slaughter of millions of men, women, and children because of some insane race theories held by a totalitarian government. Our age has also experienced recurrently dangerous mass propaganda movements which are steeped in bigotry and intolerance and which are aimed at depriving men of their dignity, their equality, and their freedom. Unfortunately, we have been swinging into an ever-widening orbit of intolerance. Our age and civilization lack compassion and mercy because man is contemned. He is seldom thought of as an end in himself, but merely as a tool for something or someone else, the state, the party, the system, to be used, abused, broken, and cast aside. We are moving into dangerous times as mankind gropes for a solution of its grave economic problems. To find a fair balance between social control and individual enterprise, between authority and freedom. Unfortunately, we are moving into these dangerous times with little love in our hearts and with little respect and sensitiveness for man as such. We are spiritually unprepared for the enormous task. The psychology of war has already gripped and possessed us, and we are thinking far more of ways of preparing for war than of ways of finding the peace through conference, negotiation, compromise, and tolerance. The road to peace, my friends, is far more difficult to follow than the road to war. The road to war is a well-trod road which is often paved and smoothly surfaced by national pride and emotionalism, by grandiose conceptions of national superiority and destiny. The road to peace is the hard road of restraint and self-possession, of caution and forbearance, of faith and humility. This is the road to peace, and this is the road which religion has always marked out for the progress of mankind. Is it not clear, therefore, friends, that men of goodwill all over the world today, who are inspired by the great teachings of their religions, must unite their forces in urgent defense of their common spiritual heritage, which is being threatened both at home and abroad? If we are thinking primarily as we should of man and of humanity, then we must work for the one world under all circumstances. And especially must we work for it with increased devotion and fervor in a period of human history such as ours, when the prospect of the one world is dim unto extinction. We must never accept the idea of an inevitable and irrepressible conflict between classes or nations or economic systems, all surface indications to the contrary. The warm spirit, my friends, is always better than the Cold War. It is not to the best interest of mankind that men of goodwill should work for the hardening of the disastrous divisions of our world. It is far more helpful to concern ourselves with the safeguarding of those principles of our religious traditions, which each age and each country must be challenged to uphold, regardless of the economic or political system which it prefers. We Jews and Christians have work to do in the world, not merely as citizens of our country, but as adherents of historic and prophetic faiths, whose mission it has always been to teach men to rise above the levels and limitations of system, class, nation, race, or creed to the higher levels of humanity, to an eager and outreaching cooperativeness in the building of the good society on earth, where man's high hopes for justice, freedom, and peace can find at last their happy anchorage.
You have heard a transcribed address by Dr. Abba Hillel Silver, Rabbi of the Temple, Cleveland, Ohio. As part of the observance of National Brotherhood Week, Rabbi Silver spoke on the theme, One World, Indivisible. This program originated in Cleveland. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.